Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the Fans Christmas Chorus brings you Malzie the Snowman.
Oh, Malzie the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a giant bald head and a button nose, his favorite pitcher was Garrett Cole. Oh, Malzie the Snowman, here's a fairy tale they say. He was made of snow, but the listeners know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Malzie danced around.
Oh, Malzie the snowman was alive as he could be. He used giant words and his favorite GM was a man named George McPhee.
I still can't get over how bad the ending is.
The ladies' chorus, which had done such a good job, clearly was thrown off by how cumbersome and unwieldy it was, and it hurt their performance too. God, that's like you get to the studio, you think you're writing up Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper, and you can't bring it home. Joe had like a near banger on his hands, and he's dropped the ball.
It's like having a wonderful flight and then forgetting to put down the landing gear.
That's a great analogy. That's perfect. Just belly flopping that 747 into the runway. 100% true, Charlie.
Man.
You know what? I'm flattered that they would.
It did have potential.
I'm flattered that they would make a song about me. I'm disappointed that the song fell so flat at the end.
It just goes back to whenever Joe gets the creative juices going with stuff like this, he falls back on the end rhyme has to be somebody's favorite ex player or now apparently hockey GM. And if he had just broadened his horizons and thought about the fact that the rhyme was just
right there,
perfect for nine straight threes, it would have been, I think, an instant classic. You know, some songs, the more you listen to them, the more they get stuck in your head, the more you like them. This song is actually having the opposite effect on me.
It's going the wrong way.
Yep.
You know what? You know who he could have taken a lyrical nod from? Colony. He used to make those songs, Stud Brad Lincoln for Hot Rod Lincoln. He used to do a better job with that stuff.
Honestly, that's the only one I can think of that he ever did.
I made lyrics for him and for Giannotti back in the very early days of the station that was Don't Bring Me Down by ELO, but it was Don't Take the Mound for Zach Duke. Mm. So we had it all together. Don't take the mound, Duke.
Yeah, and you wrote the whole song. Oh,
I had like lyrics written out. You have to make it actually. You have to write it out to make sure it works.
Well, it was right there. It was right for the picking. This song.
You ever missed a layup in basketball in a game?
Yes.
You went in and you just biffed a layup. That's what he did.
We are live at Mike's Beer Bar, and we are here for our big Christmas karaoke event. Starts at 7. People are already filing in. One of our loyal listeners, Eileen, who brought us Sarah's chocolate pretzels
elite.
As a thank you, which was above and beyond. She has been a listener for such a long time that she has pictures saved on her phone.
of us from the before times.
And she had one where she met you and Joe before a Penguins hockey game way back in the day.
Correct.
And then she had one of me from an event, I think, at Jurgles.
You look like you were very unkempt.
So I had her, you're right, I had her send it to me. I don't know what's going on with my hair in this picture, Chris.
You look like you just rolled out of bed in like a drug-induced stupor.
It's honestly one of the worst.
Let me see it here again.
Go ahead. I mean, I've got to be consistent. If I'm going to rip Joe for his song, I've got to, if I see something that I don't like with myself.
You kind of look like Teen Wolf here.
Our
just
old,
do a very fast
show
just do a very fast look. Like you look extremely skinny, like unhealthily skinny, which he kind of looked.
Yeah.
And then just
but you also were unhealthily skinny at one point not too long ago, so it takes one to know one.
No, I mean
Doran called you out at our fan lunch for that. He said you looked horrible, which I thought was a little harsh, but that's okay.
At the fan lunch we just had?
Yeah. Remember he was talking, because we got on the topic of weight because of all
I dropped into the 160s for one day just to see if I could do it, but I'm back up where I want to be now.
Well, I agree with that, but he crushed you for your look back then. That's
well, it's awful. Because there was no muscle tone on old Malzy. There still really isn't, but. I tell you what, you've done one thing in 2024 that has put me to shame. You got the personal training sessions given to you by Amanda as a gift for what, your birthday or Christmas? I think your birthday is right after
I think it
New
was
Year's.
A hybrid, which is not my favorite, but that's okay. It
she,
was a big
she
enough
She smashed
gift.
Them together.
Yeah.
And it was what, 1 year personal training?
No, it was like a trial basis.
And
at
so
first.
You've kept it going.
Yeah.
That's my statement here. You have really kept it going. I think if we had to engage in hand-to-hand combat, I wouldn't like my chances. Because you look like you've really put on a lot of strength. Yeah, but I would want to just win on like, you know, general merits. I don't want to have to rely on scrappiness. Scrappiness can turn, you know... You can be all scrappy that you want. You might get your ass kicked by somebody that's just bigger and stronger.
All right, so the updated Steelers injury report here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say before we get into who's on it, the Steelers staged another walkthrough today. So that means that for the game against the Ravens, for the AFC North, this titanic showdown between two teams that hate each other, probably the NFL's best rivalry. At most, they're going to have one day of practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a downer, I think. I think that's a bummer that...
You think it's going to like negatively affect the product on the field?
I think it could.
So is that why you think it's a downer?
Well, yeah, so I'll say yes. I think it will.
Okay.
Because you want games like this late in the year...
To be well contested. High-quality play.
Yeah, and...
I agree with that.
The reason why they're doing this is because they want to make sure that there's games played on Christmas. And in order to do so, mm-hmm. they can't have the Steelers play a game on Sunday against the Ravens. So they have to move it back a day. And because there's also that game on Wednesday, Mike Tomlin, I think, is with this game, like playing the long game.
Trying not to wear his guys out in advance and hurt them twice. Who do you think having less
that
practice
blows,
benefits,
dude.
By the way? Of these two teams, who benefits more, like, as far as they don't need to practice, they're in better shape? I actually think the Ravens might be worse off for this because they'd want to work on little subtle things that maybe they could do to unlock Jackson in this game.
Yeah, but if our big complaint coming out of the Eagles game was that the offense was too predictable and they did things that were, like, to type and – the Eagles saw it coming. Like, how are they?
Well, was it that hard to – do you have to practice to say we're not going to run the ball 81% of the time under center and pass it 92% of the time out of the gun?
I would say no.
Like, that should be a pretty easy process.
I know, but everybody who's played in the NFL, who's told me about these quick turnaround games, say that they're more basic and you just get back to, like, the fundamentals of football for them.
Okay, you know, then what would worry me about the Steelers then, just to continue to play this out and pull this string, is – they tackled so horribly. Now, granted, you aren't really getting physical, though, during in-season practices. That's kind of a thing of the past. But they did tackle so badly against the Eagles that I would wonder if Tomlin's just going to hope he can basically talk them into, like, hey, you have to finish the play. You know, you've got to stick your nose in there. It sucks that we're in this position. and that we're playing these three games.
I just
so
want
close
a high
together.
Quality football game when these two teams well, play, because I think that's what the rivalry deserves.
So
it just makes me think that that can't necessarily
the NFL,
happen.
But I think the NFL has like made their deal with the devil there. They've made the following calculation, and they don't. Like, I think what people have to understand is, like, Roger Goodell does not care that this is a high-stakes game that might be a sloppy, ugly game because it just doesn't matter to him, like, that part of it.
No, because no matter how bad the games get, nobody actually turns off the NFL. The only time they did was when guys started taking a knee before the national anthem, and everyone's come back from that.
And that is what I was going to get to was what the NFL innately knows is no matter how bad the quality of play is and how much you and I are sitting there going, ugh. Or, like, Steelers fans or Ravens fans are just saying, like, this game is a real sloppy, like, hard-to-watch game. It never turns into a hard-to-watch, so I'm going to turn the channel. Like, it's just not going to get to that point for people. It never will. And they know that, and so they will continue to do this. And the only thing I will say to you, though, as we play this out, because this is, like, for me, a very interesting sort of thread to pull at here. I will say that I think Tomlin is better suited than Harbaugh and better suited than most coaches to be in a sloppy game and find a way to win it.
Well, yeah, that's his bread and butter the last few years. The only other thing the rebuttal I have, though, is Harbaugh's outthought himself a lot in these games, and maybe this eliminates the paralysis by analysis with him.
He just has to dumb it down for himself.
I mean, they went into the Ravens game, and now the guy's been suspended and isn't a part of the team, but our hypothesis or thought that he might try to jam Deontay Johnson into that game was accurate. They did look to him early in the game. It didn't work, and then they went away from him as the game went on, but they did try it. He did attempt to, like, make that
thing.
Yes. Like, let's get payback at them. You know, you're now new to the team. You know these guys. There's some
for Harbaugh, I think the most tangible thing is it might just compel him to say, I'm going to hand the ball to Derrick Henry a whole bunch.
Yeah, how's that make you feel about the matchup?
Not good, because Derrick Henry was running well against them until John Harbaugh said, I don't need to give him the ball once
so
in the fourth quarter.
Watt and Ogunjobi were elevated to limited. I feel like they're both going to play. And you and I have both said we'd prefer Watt in this game to Pickens because Watt is synonymous with
He's the personification of what they're able to
held him in check exactly. So that I think that's obviously encouraging. Pickens, Elliott, Dante Jackson, and Fields are still DNP. So as of right now, I would guess you're starting strong safety and your number two corner who has five interceptions are probably not going to play in the game. And then the gadgetry of Justin Fields is probably on the back burner too.
Mm-hmm.
I've reached a point in life where I don't like people who complain. I don't like to be around people that always have like a negative mindset or a negative attitude on things. So I try to practice what I preach and not do it myself. So I think
you're saying on the air or off the air?
Just in life. I feel like I want to surround myself with positive people and not negative people who expect negative things to happen before they actually do.
God, it must be exhausting working with me.
You don't always know. Don't put yourself down here. What I'm saying is that I am doing my best to resist the temptation of falling into that and saying that that's what's going to happen with this game. I just my midweek vibe check is that I do not have a very good feeling about this game on Saturday, and we're getting dangerously close for me if they lose on Saturday and then follow it up with a loss against the Chiefs, of me starting to feel a lot of 2020 Steelers vibes with this team if that happens.
I'm not.
And the schedule will get blamed, and Goodell will get blamed, but I don't want to give and the injuries, but I don't want to give them that full blown excuse.
So, start with my vibe check is technically that I think they're going to lose this game. If you asked me to pick it right now, it would be a Ravens win. I wouldn't be getting 2020 vibes just because I still think this team has been playing better football than not for the most part since Wilson took over. Like, they've had some spotty games, but we've seen them explode offensively at times. We've seen him throw for 400 yards. 2020, maybe I'm misremembering this, or maybe I just was out on an island. Like, it felt like a steady, steady, inexorable decline
for
them.
Even when they were winning games, Tomlin was starting to get pissed off and frustrated.
He was getting frustrated. We were getting frustrated. And for the final five games, I would argue they played one good half of football that was enough to beat the Colts. Yep. Like, Ben got red hot out of nowhere, hit Deontay with that big play. But, like, they were you know, a turd circling the drain. They were being flushed. This team doesn't have that vibe. I mean, they got pounded by Philly, and Philly is really good. But I don't get the same overarching sense about them the way there was a sense of dread with the 2020 team. I can't ever remember there being a time like when more people were feeling not good about an undefeated football team more than halfway through the season. We've all like sounded alarms about the Chiefs whenever they come up in conversation, like, wow, they're getting it done with smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, they're the closest thing to that.
They're still the damn Chiefs, though. Like, and there is reason in their very recent past to think like they can shake off this at any time and be scary. The Steelers had not really given you any reason to believe that that was the case. Ben was a guy who at that point wanted to throw the ball quick, throw the ball short. The book was out on them, and once it was out, they didn't have anything else in the arsenal. Like, there was no counterpunch whatsoever from the Steelers. I don't feel that way about this team.
So you won't feel like the sky is falling if they lose three games in a row?
No, I'm not going to. I would prefer they win them because that's like those are data points to say, like, hey, you can beat these teams, even maybe in their building in the playoffs. But no, I am not going to get 2020 vibes unless Russ just literally looks like he can't play the position anymore.
I wouldn't say he looked that way against the Eagles.
He was just they were very tendency predictable, and they didn't have their best player.
Yeah, he just wasn't good enough to raise everybody's level of play against a team like that.
Which how many guys were? Lamar looked out of sorts against them, too.
Texas on the Edgar Snyder Associates Fan Text Line. We'll get a full-blown practice report from Jeff Hathorn, our Steelers insider at 93.7thefan.com. Next, we're live at Mike's Beer Bar for our annual Christmas party, Christmas karaoke event. Here's a headline. Time for the Hawk Report. Jeff Hathorn, 93.7thefan.com on Steelers and Ravens, brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. The fan beer of the month is Shoe Brew Brewing. Polyphonics, they'll support the American Cancer Society. That's where we are right now, getting ready for our huge karaoke event. Pat Freiermuth scheduled to appear and more. Get down here at Mike's. Admission is free. We're going to have a great night. Let's get the Hawk Report started, Charlie. Jeff, have you heard Malzie the Snowman yet?
I've only heard the social media clip. I'm anxious to hear it live because it's going to be different than studio.
Oh, he's not playing it live here.
What?
Yes. Because it was a collaboration and all the people.
Yeah, I heard Tom's not going to be able to make it.
Yeah, he's a late scratch. Bob out for this.
Injuries are the topic all over the place, or people that may or may not be able to play.
Yeah, it seemed like we watched the video you were allowed to post, Jeff, from Steelers today, and Pony remarked that he goes, Chris, you had knee surgery, you had a knee ailment. Does TJ Watt look like he's moving normally? And admittedly,
hobbled.
He looked like he had a bit of a hitch in his giddy up, a bit of a slight twinge to his gait. Would you agree, or are we making a mountain out of a molehill? Like, what's the truth here?
All right, I'm going to walk this line and maybe cross it, but I mean, today was a practice in caps, not helmets. So practices in caps are almost three-quarter speed. So some of the things may not be – you're not gearing up for a helmet practice where you're going to – there's any fear of any contact. So it's always for all of us, and we were talking about this all day as reporters, is you could so – be led in a wrong direction because of the type of practice it was. There might be a little, but I'm feeling optimistic about TJ just because he was able to do what he was able to do and push it a little bit today. We'll see a little bit more tomorrow, but just know that these practices are not the full speed, and you're not going to see some of the stuff you might see even in preparation and warm-ups leading up to them just because they're inside and they've got ball caps on.
All right, so Watt was technically limited for what they described as a walkthrough practice, which is a joke that Steelers-Ravens has to be staged on Saturday with walkthroughs, and these teams can't get themselves legitimately ready for this game. All right, so we're going to run you down the names, Jeff. And these are guesses. These are just hypotheses on your part.
Yep.
If you think the guy will play, yes or no, let's start with Watt.
Yes.
Malzie?
Pickens.
Yes.
Why?
I think there's an opportunity. I think with his position, I think he can go through and do some, you know, what you saw in video and practice and get himself into the game. And even if he's only, if he's playing Scotty Miller snaps and only plays 10 or 14, those 10 or 14, you know, one or two of those could decide the game. So, yes, I think there's a good chance he plays.
How hard do you think he's lobbying them behind the scenes to get back on the field? Like, you think he's driving them nuts?
I don't know if he has to lobby. He's probably got a lot of lobbyists that are making claims for him.
I agree with that, though. Like, if that's all we can get out of Pickens, I'd still take that over him being a scratch. Because
right.
I think it at least keeps the defense honest, Chris.
Oh, he's the rare guy who could tip the scales, as Jeff said, with 10 to 15 plays. If he hits three of those plays for big gainers, that might be the difference. Deshaun Elliott would be the next one.
Yep.
No.
Ooh.
No,
Larry,
I don't think
Joby.
He plays. Yes, I think he does.
Jeff, how big of a loss is Elliott?
Well, I think we saw some of it in Philadelphia. I mean, he started slow a little bit in this defense, but, I mean, his last two games, he was, what's he had, 24 tackles, I think, total in his last two games. And the guy is, and he communicates very well in the middle. They have a comfort level of where he's going to be and what he's going to do. And, you know, one of the things that plagued them, and I'm not saying he would have been 100% against Saquon and some of those, you know, talented guys in Philly, but he doesn't miss tackles. Like, how often do you remember? I mean, I could think of maybe one or two, and this is more earlier in the season where he whiffed or just wasn't where he needed to be on a tackle. I mean, the guy is I don't even think he's a luxury. I think he's a core part of their defense when it's going well. It's a hell of a signing because you weren't exactly sure what you're going to get, and he's been more than what they expected when they signed him.
Do you think they want to have him here in the longer term then, Jeff?
Yeah, he's got one more year, but I could absolutely see that. I mean, depending on what he wants and depending on, you know.
Because if they wanted him here longer term, to be clear, I knew he had 1 year left, but they'd rip up that deal and try to do it right now for multiple years, don't you think?
Yeah, they could do it this offseason if they really decided. Or look at it this way. If it's someone that Minka really likes to play with and you want to have Minka in the future, then maybe that's the preemptive strike where you get him on a controllable contract and it makes 39 happy, and maybe that helps those negotiations.
Do you think Dante Jackson plays against the Ravens?
You know, he hasn't been out on the field at all. I mean, you're dealing with back spasms, which could, I mean, these things could come and go. We've seen it in games where he looks fine and then all of a sudden, man, I would like to see him try. I don't think he's going to play, though.
All right, so that's the one difference from Batco a day later, is that Brian agreed with Jeff that Elliott would be out, but the one place where they differ is on Jackson, and makes sense with new information if the guy couldn't even get out there for a walkthrough because of the back.
Back stuff is just always the worst. It's just because he could wake up tomorrow, could he not? I mean, isn't that the nature of this basically, Jeff?
Yes.
Wake up tomorrow and be completely fine.
And really in that Eagles game, he was kind of explaining to us that, you know, he was fine, and it's one little hit where he gets turned in one little direction and boom, you know, he's feeling it. So I don't know enough medically to tell you what would heal that, but it seems like that's one of those injuries, especially where time, just a little bit more time. They like James Pierre. They obviously would want Jackson out there. But it just, again, because he hasn't been on the field for a couple of days, I just don't feel optimistic of him being out there.
Jeff, very conciliatory Najee Harris today with you guys, talking about how it's BS that Russell Wilson gets called for that fumble in the Eagles game, that he should be the guy that gets blamed for it. Yes, the Ed Bouchette lookalike.
I was just
going
to say, Boney, I wanted to make sure that you saw it too.
The guy that Callis went up to last year and said, hey, Ed,
hello,
good to have you here. And it was not Ed.
So he knew who that guy was.
Yeah,
it's kind of sad, Jeff, that I like grabbed Pony's piece of paper like I was
exactly
gonna write
going to
write something, and he had already seen and filed it.
Back to Najee, you know, did a very pro thing and took the blame for that fumble, as he should again today. Do you sense that given the early struggles in running game being stuck in park, that we will get more Jaylen Warren against the Ravens in this game?
I don't sense that. I mean, what we've seen is a running game that's backslid. I mean, they've only had one game, and that was the Cincinnati game, where they've averaged over at least 4 yards a carry over the last six. I don't even know if it's a matter of one of those guys. It's, you know, Arthur tried to give us, you know, things about nuances and how there's been holes and then they haven't recognized or there's this or that. I mean, bottom line is, at least in Philadelphia, there was really nothing there. I think we're going to continue to see a similar spread. I thought last week might be Jalen's opportunity, and there was just not much there for anybody. And then obviously they didn't have many plays at all in the second half. So I think that the division of labor is going to be what we've seen in the past. And I agree with you, Pony. I mean, good on Najee. Could have blamed it on a number of things, but he said he screwed up. Shouldn't be his. He takes that stuff personally, and let's see how he reacts. Because, man, if they're going to beat Baltimore, it's as much about what the defense does to slow down Lamar as that offense, keeping Lamar off the field.
Do I have time for – I was just going to say, Jeff, when we talk about this running game broadly, how much of it do you feel like their lack of maybe success or efficiency is on the backs versus how much is on the offensive line?
I think it works in tandem. I think there are some games where it's one over the other. I would say in this past Sunday's game, I don't know that they weren't recognizing holes. It's just Philadelphia just did a great job defensively. There just wasn't much there, and they were daring the Steelers to throw, and beyond a flea flicker, you know, they weren't able to get anything going downfield.
Jeff, prediction for Saturday.
I've gone back and forth on this game. I'm feeling better about TJ, and he's such a major factor in this one. I'm going to say the Steelers just continue to have their number.
Damn,
and
wow.
I'm going to say, a 17-13 Steeler win.
That's what a lot of them have looked like. 8 of 9, and they've all been one-score wins. The Hawk Report.
Oh, Charlie.
See you, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. See you, boys, in a bit.
What happened there?
I like Jeff's attempt at doing a hawk noise.
Charlie's off his game right now. That's okay.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
One person at the station, high-ranking person. What was the last line of that Snowman song? I wrote, his favorite GM was George McPhee. And the person responded, what? Yeah, that's kind of bad.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. A college football minute. For years, Penn State has ripped Pitt for something. Does that change on Saturday? We'll tell you what that is, but first a headline. Judge Donnie returns, I think, in 2025. Court is not in session. It's on a holiday hiatus because Donnie is off today and he's off next week.
The court would be in recess, right?
Yep. And so we'll get back to our debates for next year. That means I win 2024's Judge Donnie season. We'll start from scratch.
Oh, a Judge Donnie season. Wow, it was a pretty abbreviated season.
Listeners asking what happened to the auction house. That's another thing that's got to be brought back for
2025. I think that's on you, though, brother.
I agree.
I think you kind of just... And you've tried in your inimitable fashion to blame it on me and Donnie for once making a mockery of Bucko Auction House, thus souring you on auction houses, plural.
We're live right now over at Mike's Beer Bar, emphasis on live, here until 6, and then Jason Mackey follows us. Our big Christmas karaoke event starts at 7. Come down and hang out. It's free. Pat Fryermuth and others expected to appear. Will we hear a live version of Malzie the Snowman, which was debuted today on the Pop and Joe show?
Listeners tweeting in and then swiftly deleting their tweets with an Austin-centric version of the Snowman.
Thought the elements of a great song were there, but some lyrical mishaps. prevented it from becoming an instant hit.
This is going to make Jeff in South Park happy because he's listening and he loves hockey. Do you remember the very infamous play where I forget which guy it is on the Dallas Stars is walking in all alone on an empty net to ice a game? The puck hops over his stick and he crashes into the boards.
Oh, I actually do remember that.
Patrick Stephon.
Patrick Stephon, thank you. He just casually, like, Harlem Globetrotters his way in, wipes out, misses the net. They go back the other way with, like, 6 seconds left, tie the game, and win it in overtime. That was Joe. Do you like that one, Charlie? You're a hockey guy. You should probably love a Patrick Stephon reference.
I love it. The Patrick Stephon reference in the year of our Lord 2024.
That's right, damn it.
But then by that logic, wouldn't Charlie like the fact that Joe pulled George McPhee out of the
No, office? Because I think Charlie is committed to greater music than because he's a Springsteen fan. He loves great. Well, I don't think it's great.
Yeah,
music,
we go way back.
Get my point.
But the fact that Joe has obscure hockey references, I would think would be right.
Wouldn't he have?
But it's in the wrong field.
Wouldn't he have respected
the wrong field?
McPhee does not belong in a Mulsey centric song. Like I can appreciate an off the wall hockey reference, but.
I mean,
like in the right setting.
Do you think the Garrett Cole reference worked?
At least that one was a Pirates player.
Yeah.
Is there a guy who's been a prominent Pittsburgh sports figure who he could have used instead of McPhee?
Yes. He could have, if he didn't want to go nine straight threes, he could have said his favorite Pitt center was Gary McGee.
Okay.
Ooh.
Or
right?
McPhee, Marc-Andre Fleury.
His favorite goalie was Marc-Andre Fleury. That's good.
But you're a basketball guy, so why not a little Gary McGee?
Gary McGee is a very good one. Anyway. How about he could have just said his favorite shooter was Steph Curry?
But that, again, would have been more about Joe because Joe likes the Golden State Warriors.
But I love Steph Curry. You know.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've been working with you. I didn't know that you had such a soft spot for Seth Curry. It's literally never come up on our show until right now.
Yes. I, a guy who loves basketball, hate the guy who redefined the sport by just casually making 35
footers. You love basketball and... Not to go too inside basketball here, but you're not the biggest Michael Jordan fan of all time, so it's not like you universally love every basketball player.
I think he's the second greatest basketball player ever to live.
You're hearing the college football on CBS theme because I will confess this, and I hope it resonates with our audience. I am way more intrigued with this college football playoff and Penn State's situation in it than I think most people are. Or at least on our station. I feel like I bring it up where others don't.
I'm intrigued.
Okay, so you and I then. I guess
I'm
we'll be the show that says that.
All the little stories surrounding it.
The fact that Penn State constantly rags on Pitt for having half-empty stadium and bright yellow seats at Acrisure and it being like a black eye on the program. And now the latest rumor is... that they're going to have about 70,000 people there on Saturday for a playoff game.
Stadium's capacity.
A whiteout with not even close to a full stadium.
Stadium's capacity just for everybody scoring at home is 106,000. When I went there, I think the capacity was like more like 102, 103. But when I went there, a bad crowd was an announced crowd of high 80s for like your Youngstown State.
I was just going to say this is like
FCS
a game against
school,
Bowling Green,
right? Or when they like South Florida randomly came in there one year when they stunk,
and this
was a bad crowd.
And this is from people who study this stuff who are saying,
well, it's the get-in price.
Look like that.
The get-in price is the lowest of the four games this
weekend, and it's going to get way lower from what I heard. It's going to get to the. It's honestly, from what I've heard, it's going to get to a point where people are going to be able to get in for less than
$20.
It's
actually a shame. Donnie is sitting 15 feet from me, if that.
Hello, Donnie.
No one likes making jokes about attendance state other than me more than Donnie. I almost want to bring him up here, but I don't want to interrupt his lovely meal that he's having with the lovely Sarah.
Girlfriend, yeah.
So I will say this. I'm going to do the thing where you try to make your argument by rebutting all the arguments you know people would try to counter you with.
I've already seen a lot of them, yeah.
I've heard, well, it's winter break, the students aren't there, what do you expect? They make up, whatever, 40,000 or 30,000 of the people there, whatever their student section capacity is, I don't even know. It's a large chunk of that stadium. Well, what do you want to do? Hotels are all booked up, it's so hard to get a hotel within 35, 40 minutes, you might as well just go to Altoona, whatever. It's going to be cold, it's going to be this, that, or the other
thing. How about this one? How about it's... winter graduation week.
Oh, winter graduation week. I knew like two people that graduated during the winter semester. Two. Here is my rebuttal to all of that. One, the hotels thing, does it matter for some Penn State fans who would want to make an overnighter out of it? Yes. It matters way more for SMU fans who can only make it a trip where they stay in a hotel. If you're a Penn State...
I thought SMU fans were filthy rich and they didn't care about the price of things like that.
Well, no, it's more the proximity. Like, okay. Do you really want to like go to and stay in a hotel and then drive like an hour and a half each way?
Gotcha.
More like 2 hours in the game traffic.
Yeah, maybe those filthy rich people don't want to do that.
They could just build a hotel real quick in like a day. No, if you are a Penn State fan, and since the inception of the college football playoff, you have alternately lamented your team's inability to get there or bitched and moaned when you thought they were unfairly excluded.
But also they were saying that they would be okay losing the Big Ten championship game because they wanted this home playoff game so bad.
If that has been your refrain in the four-team era, and now, even though, yes, it's 12 teams, you are finally in the thing. And you are not only in it, but you are in that sweet spot of 5 through 8 where you get to host one of the games. I don't care if you're a kid home on Christmas break and you live in Philly, or you're one of the million Long Island or Jersey kids that go there, or you're from D.C., a lot of kids there, Buffalo, Cleveland, Columbus, Pittsburgh, wherever. Make a day trip out of it. Get your ass to that game, or stop comparing everyone else's lower attendance to yours forever. Lose your privileges.
I agree. I can make a promise to you. Even with everything that's going on with the Steelers and whatnot, if Pitt, by some act of God, hosted a college football playoff game, there would be 68,000 people at Akron Stadium.
Easy.
100%.
Easy. It would be a major event.
I don't even stutter or hesitate when I say that.
No, it's an easy call. It would be the most attended Pitt game, I think, ever at that building. And then they'll say, well, it's a smaller stadium to fill this, that, or, oh, you're in a major metropolitan. Get to the game.
Oh, Penn State fans have always mocked Pitt fans for making excuses for why
get to the game. If I were a Penn State student, you know what I would do if I were home for break? It's a 2-hour drive each way. You know what I would do if I care about the football more than anything? I'd suck it up. I'd drive my buddies up. I might have a couple parking lot beers, and then I would go watch the game like a normal person.
Embarrassing look for Penn State.
And then drive back 7 or 8 hours later.
Here is here is one of the things people have brought up.
We are not going to this game. We are watching on TV. We are dressed as empty seats.
That you haven't mentioned yet. How about people from this region who have the Steelers-Ravens conflict on Saturday?
If you're a Penn State fan, I think I'd give you a pass for a game. And tell not a pass on the Steelers game. Don't watch that game. Go watch your alma mater that you care deeply about and either DVR Steelers Ravens or just go watch it at a local Penn State bar. Right? That's the play.
I'm not a Penn State guy, but that's
but the... if you were both, if you were Steelers Penn State, I would prioritize Penn State.
I had an opportunity to go to this game in very bougie seats, and I said, no, I can't because of Steelers Ravens.
But if you were a Penn State fan, you'd go. Man, it's not surprising that even as a Penn State graduate, I did not have a bougie seat opportunity. If anything, somebody would ply me with fake tickets saying, don't you want to see them lose and then not actually be there?
How about this excuse that a Penn State fan tweeted in? They'll go on a deep playoff run, fans saving their money for the Final Four National Championship.
Oh, sweet Jesus, do I want them to go down in flames to SMU. In one weird, twisted way, it will be a sad thing if they do, because all the people who had deep playoff run earmarked won't be there in person to see it. Actual diehards will be the ones suffering the most.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 30. A hodgepodge coming up, and then we will hand things off to Jason Mackey, and hopefully you'll come down and join us at Mike's Beer Bar for our annual amazing Christmas karaoke event. Time out, and we're right back on the Fan.